Hey guys, welcome to episode 58 of A Wrestling Gal Podcast, providing you with the female perspective on all things wrestling. Join me, your host and wrestling enthusiast, Ella J, as today I'm joined by the absolute legend, the greatest of all time, my favorite women's wrestler ever, Mickey James. Now let's chat. Hello, everybody. Today, I'm joined by the baddest chick in the game, the legend, the greatest of all time, Miss Mickey James. So how are you doing today?
Wow. Thank you. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great to be chatting with you today. So I can't complain, you know?
Well, I'm excited for you, and I'm so proud of you. Like, this is awesome. Good for you.
I'm well, thank you, so much. Thank you so much. It's an honor. Now, normally, I would firstly ask my guests what they've been doing during quarantine, but I already know that you've been heavily invested in GOT TV, Patreon, and even working on some music, I heard. But is there anything else noteworthy you've been doing?
Well, obviously, you know, Donovan is a full-time job.
Yes.
He is, and he has enjoyed, like, this summer probably the most because we've been home and he gets us all day, every day, except for when, you know, we have to work. But most work is all from home, too. So it's just like he's like living his best life every day.
Love that.
But now, I've been writing music because my next album I want to do all like my originals.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm super stoked about that. I've been training and working out, you know, getting ready for a return. Maybe one day we'll see what happens there. And then, I just, you know, momming so hard and I'm just getting ready for this school thing and like getting back to school, what I'm going to do about that. Cause I'm a little nervous about, you know, all that. There's so many things going on. So crazy.
Does he go to school this upcoming school year or next year?
Well, so he's gone to preschool, obviously. And then I've been in like a private daycare preschool before. This year he's supposed to enroll in kindergarten. So I'm
because
it's still so uncertain. And it's not really about, you know, I do think about, well, even though the numbers are low for kids, there still is the numbers there when you think about it.
Exactly.
And I just can't think about Donovan trying to keep a mask on all day or, you know, and I hate to even, I can't even imagine for the kids to keep masks on all day and all that stuff. And then, but it's about the teachers and the bus drivers and the teacher's aides and the custodians and the, you know, hall monitors or the people in the office, the administration, the principal, the vice principal, the cafeteria workers, like, the people that are unloading and loading them off the bus, much less like the babysitters who are then having to do it some days because people have to work. It's just like there's so many other little factors that kind of go in that we're not really even thinking about. And I understand because I'm like, there's some parents who just can like, there's no way they still have to work. They work two jobs or whatever else. And they have to have a means to, you know, put their child in school or something during the day while they're during those hours. But it's just like, I don't know. It's a lot. It's a lot to decide on, you know?
I feel like, too, just kids, like, I know they want to do, like, at home. They started doing that, like, when this first started in March. But the thing is, like, I feel like for kids, like, third grade and younger, like, doing technology at home is, it's a hassle because you have to have the parents helping them out. They're not, like, at an age where they can, like, properly handle and figure out how to do it all online in this generation, I feel like.
Maybe, but then I look at Donovan and he handles the iPad sometimes better than I do. So it's more about the parents who probably aren't as savvy with those programs and stuff to be able to help the children. Because, too, you know, you go, there's like, if I struggle, like even like in getting Donovan to sit down, like and do his work throughout the day or like, hey, let's sit down and try to write the alphabet or do that. And we do these exercises. Like, that's the struggle. So then you're like, if you're going to do the at-home program, apparently, you know, you have to be there. A parent has to be there. And the child has to be on the program for like 4 hours out of the day, I think, to get through. And maybe the grades are different on how, you know, long they have to be on. But that's going to be a struggle just to get the child to stay focused on the computer for 4 hours, you know?
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah. But then I think it's very beneficial then for, you know, a lot of the older kids who are, you know, we are moving into that world of technology where a lot of research and everything is done on the computer. So they need to kind of know all of these things, where it was something that was kind of taught to us as an elective, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and exactly.
It was a class we had to take, but it was just one class of like just like a computer kind of basic knowledge test. Mm-hmm. So now it's just going to be so much, you know, more into just their, it's just going to be like a second language to them that's already done that's, you know, so, and to be honest, when we think about it, we're so behind the times than other countries on that, like Japan and China. And true. All that, like that. So, yeah, I don't know. I see both sides of it. It's just like,
I get it. I get it. There's a lot of evolving times and it's in this weird state that you don't know if it's going to go away, but yeah, you just roll with it, I guess. I completely understand.
For sure. Yeah. I don't know that it's going to completely go away. You know, you go,
no, like, I don't think so.
We still have the common cold. We still have the flu. We still have all these things. What's going to happen is we'll get to a place where, there's a vaccine for it, but I don't even know how I feel about a vaccine. You know what I mean? I would think more about the cure. Like if I'd be okay, like in the sense of, I mean, unless you're like high risk or very, you know, absolutely, at risk, I just don't, I'm like, oh, about taking a vaccine for something that you might potentially get rather than just having a cure for it. So once you have it, you take this, like something that you would take for the common cold or something that you would take for the flu. And I'm not trying to compare it to the flu. It's not the flu by any means, but I'm saying that we have like, typically through modern medicine, a way to then get better, you know? I don't know. I'm talking out of my head right now. This is just me wishful thinking. Like I'm hoping that, because I feel like that we're going to get into a new space of like some sort of new normal, right?
We're going to have to. Yeah.
So we're going to have to figure it out. That's all.
Absolutely. Now, I know, like you said, you live a very busy life juggling being a mother, a wrestler, and a successful music career. But is there any favorite way to decompress or relieve any stress you have?
I'm really into, like, I love my crystals and meditating. I love yoga or my baths. Oh, God. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you have to take those girly days and
Those are the best.
Yeah, with your mask on and just chilling and doing your thing. Like I always try to take, especially decompress day, I think, like whenever I'm on the road and then I fly home, that day is kind of a wash for me. I just kind of do what I want and don't commit to going to the gym. If I go, that's a bonus, but I don't kind of commit to anything except for just getting in and getting settled and then I'll go and then kick it in the next day, you know. But yeah, I love massages, going to the, you know what I mean? Which has been sucked because during all this, all the salons and spas and stuff are closed. So it's like, that sucks.
Some salons, well, I don't know there, but some salons are open here. But yeah, it's obviously limited and it's very hard to get an appointment.
Right. It's like by appointment only.
And, yeah.
You know, so, which is good. You know, that's good. I'm grateful because, I guess you could. It's just, you know, finding the time. Here's the thing is that like, you have to, it's not like you're planning for the 1 hour massage, are you? Mm-hmm. You have to get there early enough and then you have your massage hour, 90 minute massage, and then whatever you have to do after it. So it's that whole like 2 hour block of time, you know?
I wouldn't know, but I would love to go for one day.
You've never had one? Oh God, you must.
No, I wish, girl.
Here's my thing is that the whole time I'm trying to relax, but I'm thinking of all the things that I need to do or I should have done instead of just laying here for 2 hours. But then I'm like, just relax and enjoy your massage. But this is the mental battle going on in my head.
That's funny.
Oh, man.
Now you talk about decompressing and you've done that too a lot with GawTV. You gals look like you have a lot of fun drinking and all that, but I just want to know, is there any plans for Gaw merch in the works? I would love to see some Gaw mugs so you guys can sip the tea, but are there any plans?
Yes, we are. We are working on some Gaw merch, some merchandise for our little, for our gorgeous folks out there. Yes. We're trying to think of some fun stuff. And the artwork, it's just really getting those, this is the stuff because I'm not computer savvy. And that's why I say thank God for Val, because she's so smart and so good. And she's such an amazing hostess anyway, like, and all the other stuff that she does. And so we're, you know, we're blessed to have her. And then Lisa just cracks me up, but none of us are smart when it comes to like the photo framing of like sizing the photo to put it down into the correct size for like these like online distributors kind of thing. So mm-hmm. we're looking to try to get someone that can help us, you know, really get the stuff and then get the designs and stuff that we want in the store. Cause we had like, we've already made like a Teespring store. And then obviously, you know, I don't know if we want to do something with like a pro wrestling tease or something like that. The thing is that it's not really a wrestling.
Yeah.
Podcast, you mm-hmm. know? So it's like,
I mean, I've used Teespring in it. Well, I use a they have a built-in thing where you can design it, but I use a different app to edit all my shirts and designs.
Uh-huh.
But Teespring's a good start if you're like beginning. I mean, yeah. I like self-taught myself using all these different apps. It's not that hard, but once you like find a way to like work, it becomes like addicting designing stuff, at least for me.
Right.
It's really fun.
Yeah, because you just released some new t-shirts, didn't you?
I did.
I saw on the Twitter.
On the Twitter. Now, you've said that GAW is actually planning to take over the world, but can you tell me more on how you actually plan to do that?
I say so many things, but we are going to take over the world, I think. Honestly, you know, we started it as this YouTube show. We started as the YouTube mm-hmm. show and for fun during all, you know, during the pandemic, you know, I think it's really interesting because we, the three of us are all at different stages of our lives, at our careers, at where we are in the business. Lisa just retired last year.
Yep.
And I'm still, I haven't wrestled in a year and a half, but, or like been on TV in a year and a half technically, mm-hmm. but I'm still, you know, with the company and I'm still very much involved in the business. And Val on the other side of it has always been and never wanted to be in the ring, really always wanted to be a manager or a hostess or something mm-hmm. like that, interviewer. So, but now she is on the other side of it and living in England, or at least is in the West Coast, and I'm in Nashville in Virginia. So it's like, yeah. So, but she's in England and she's outside of London. So, and married and then doing the hostess stuff and all that stuff on the other side of, you know, mm-hmm. in England. So it's really cool to see how, you know, where we all are all now and how we've kind of helped get through this pandemic a bit and help keep our sanity, because it's given us something really fun, really unique to work on. And I think that our fans really love it because it's not like we're sitting there and just talking about wrestling, mm-hmm. right? Like we're talking about real life stuff or stuff that honestly, if you were to come hang out with us after a show, and we drove to the next town and we got to the hotel and we're sitting around laughing and drinking or whatever, this is kind of the conversations that we would be having. It's just telling stories and just laughing or playing jokes on each other, or, you know.
Hashtag girl talk.
Yeah.
Now you're obviously multi-talented, like I said, but is there anything in life you're just not good at? Because I feel like you're good at everything, but there has to be one thing that you're not very good at in life. Oh,
I'm not good at many things, but I don't announce them. I don't talk about them. I'm not good at math. I'm terrible at math. I mean, I can add and subtract and do the basics.
Yeah.
But I'm terrible at computers, at technology.
I already knew that. It's yeah. okay. We're teaching horrible. You though. So you're getting better at Patreon though.
I am. And
Instagram. You're getting very good at Instagram. Your Instagram game is actually doing very well.
It is doing very well because I pretty much quit Twitter for the most part.
Yeah.
And I'll go on a little bit and do a couple of my little retweets mm-hmm. and I try to like, you know, I look at my fan, but I honestly, it's like it, especially right now during this time period, I just feel like Twitter's become really, really toxic for me.
Yeah. Anyway,
you know, so I'm just like, oh God, like everybody's
crazy.
Everybody's in a negative space like right now. And they're just like airing all this like ugliness and hate out there. And I'm just kind of like, it's a lot to take mm-hmm. in. It's heavy. You know what I mean? It's like, of course you need to be aware and you need to be on top of stuff. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like, I just can't allow it to consume me. Cause it's just, I don't know if I'm too empathic for it or whatever, because it's like, I can't, it's so heavy on, you know, on you, I think. And Facebook is a lot because it's the same, except for these are all, you know, your friends and family where you're going like, wait, yeah. what's it say in my mind? And so I'm like, okay, before I start blocking everybody.
I'm barely on Facebook. No, I that's why I don't do it anymore. I only go on there for Facebook news or if I see people's birthdays. No,
yes.
Like happy birthday. That's literally it.
Yeah. I'm like, whose birthday is it? Yes, mm-hmm. I know. I know. Or somebody mentions me in a comment, yeah. You know, and that's my, mm-hmm. you know, my personal, my family Facebook. Mm-hmm. And then obviously my, so what the beautiful thing is because Instagram is connected to my fan page,
yeah.
and my Twitter. So anything I put on my Instagram, it'll automatically go on those pages. Mm-hmm. And I still see the comments and stuff. You still see all the stuff on Instagram, but it's really like, I don't know.
He gone.
Yeah. He gone.
That's my favorite for real.
Oh, that's funny. Here you go.
I'm proud of you too for doing more lives too, because you did your first IGTV a couple months ago, and you've just been blossoming ever since with your Insta game. Yeah, so
like
that's
a little,
something.
A little bud. I know. I don't know, but I need to keep them shorter. I don't think I need to be IG living for an hour and a half or an hour. What was it? An hour one time? I was like, okay, this is
so it kicks you off after, I don't know if you knew this, but if you go live, it kicks you off after an hour. So if you want to continue, you have to go live again.
Oh, good to know. I didn't know that, but I hope not.
Because Melina has gone over an hour on her Patreon Insta. She's gone like 4 hours. So she's do like four different ones. Like,
oh, wow.
It's so much work.
Yeah, that is a lot of work. Wow. Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't need to go an hour. I get to rambling, you know, and then I start babbling and then I'm all up in my head, but talking out loud. So it's, yeah.
We love that though. It's okay.
It's me and all my friends up there in my head.
Now, switching gears here a little bit, with songwriting, is there a certain song that just flowed the most naturally or organically when you wrote it?
Oh, wow. Gosh, that one's a hard one. I will say there's this one that I've been writing
ooh, give us the scoop.
It was one I wrote a couple years ago. But it's not quite like to write it poetically. I wrote it just the lyrics. Like, you know, that's kind of how I write because I don't play. I have to write a lot. I write the lyrics. I write, you know, kind of, but I end up having to work with my guitarist or I'll work with another songwriter or something like that. So mostly everything I have is co-written because I don't play. So that way I can work it into like whatever the melody, I'll hear the melody in my head, but I have to like kind of say what I'm hearing or just hum around what I'm hearing. But it's a song called Whispers in the Dark, and well, it was a poem or like a piece like that. And I literally wrote it in, I don't know, 10 minutes. I think I just wrote it all down, and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful poetically. And it's, I've been trying to turn it into a song.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another similar, I wrote like something about my sister when my sister passed away.
Yes.
And I wrote that on an airplane. I wrote it.
Yeah.
As I was flying, and I was just, you know, I was crying on the airplane here in first class. People probably thought I was a crazy lady, but I'm like just writing away. And it's probably like the same, but I want to turn that into a song. So
absolutely.
I think that when you get hit with inspiration, as far as like, there's times when I've been working on a song and I started with was a hook, like something clever in that one little bit. But it's taken me a long time to get the pieces together. I've went to, you know, one of my friends or a fellow songwriter and just gone like, I've got this crazy hook. Like it's this. And they're like, oh, you know, and when they go like that, like, oh, we got to write that. Then, you know, we got to write it. Right. So
yeah, it's a hit.
Yeah. That's the one. It's called I'm Pissed. I think it's going to be on the next album.
Oh, it better be hashtag I'm Pissed. Hashtag pissed.
Pissed.
Oh, that's awesome. I can't wait. I've been hounding you. I've been asking you about this new album, and I know you've been working on it, but I just feel like there's so many delays, but it's okay.
Literally beneficial to me. And then I almost said, well, what if I, because this was the 10-year anniversary of when I released my first album.
That is correct.
So I thought about re-releasing it since there is so many issues because you can't get it on iTunes or anything. Like it's only on YouTube now for whatever reason. I don't know what happened with all that. So I'm like, okay, maybe I should re-release it. But the thing is there's like two or three songs on that album that I did write and that I did co-write. So I'm like, well, maybe I'll just pull those two or three songs to put on this originals album, because I can always go back and re-release that album. And everyone who already bought it or had it, they still have it. It's just a matter of, you know,
That's correct. It's not on Spotify either. I just checked. That's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. And I think it was something to do with my, one of my old managers, Mary, mm-hmm. or something. Like, she had pulled it down because she wanted to change the artwork or something like that. It's one of these like artistic issues that happened of like, she wanted to change the artwork in the package because whatever. So she pulled it down. But when she put it back up, I don't know if she ever got the licensing stuff right, mm-hmm. correct. And then I ended up transferring people and got signed by E1 Music Nashville out of it. So I don't think that they ever bothered because we were working on that next album. They're like, well, they didn't care about the first album, whether it was out there or not. So it wasn't ever a thing. And now I'm like, okay, well, how do I get mm-hmm. this back up there? Even if it was to put the old one back up there. But what I've realized in the process is at this point, it'll be harder to do that than it will be to just re-release mm-hmm. it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's just like a whole, and that's just me being ignorant to the game and not knowing about the licensing and about all that mm-hmm. until I've had people in the industry enough to say, okay, no, like now I have my own publishing company. I have my own kind of record label. And so I can get out there and try to do like my own distribution or work with another distributor to just put my own stuff out there rather than relying on all these people because I didn't know what was going on. It's like, it's learning the business of it, right? Like, it's the same with mm-hmm. wrestling. You have to learn the business side of it. And it's never been my forte because numbers have never been my thing. But, mm-hmm. you know, making money is my thing. I can do
yes,
that.
Yes, it is. Hashtag moneymaker. Love that. So many monikers you come up with. I love you. See, another good thing you're at is the hashtag game. So
I started it and I thought it was pretty clever because I would make like the world's longest hashtag.
Yeah.
Which was hilarious to me, but apparently it wasn't as hilarious to everyone else. I think I'm a lot funnier than probably the rest of the world even realizes.
Well, I think you're pretty funny, but I'm biased. So maybe you shouldn't judge my opinion. I don't know. Now, speaking of wrestling, since you brought it up, we have to talk about it since you are an absolute legend in the business. No matter how humble you are a legend.
You're very sweet. Thank you.
Now, obviously, you're trying, girl. You are excelling.
I'm owning it. Yeah.
There you go. Now, obviously, you've been involved in distinct matches like the Royal Rumble, an Elimination Chamber, and a Falls Count Anywhere match. But is there any certain match stipulation that you want to tackle, perhaps upon your return to full-time wrestling?
Oh, gosh. You know, I would say there's so many, right? Like, there's just so mm-hmm. many type of matches. And I think, you know, what I would really desire, I think if it was to be, is more, it's not about the type of match because mm-hmm. we could build to that. And I think it's just the story. Like, I would really love to do a really great story that would lead to mm-hmm. some type of stipulation match that you would really, really want to see. I've not really had that quote unquote, like singles run. I've been paired with or helped push and elevate mm-hmm. and like, which I love because I love bouncing off of other people's mm-hmm. characters. Like, it's so fun to me, but at the same time, it's about the stories or whatever. And to create that like drama to where people actually care enough about you one way or the other, that they're invested enough to want to see you in a bull rope match or want to see you in a ladder match or want to see you in a cage match. You know what I mean? That mm-hmm. they get that invested in it. Like, that's kind of, for me, what I would prefer or what I would love.
No, it makes sense. We're pushing towards number 7. And if you can do that in a creative and engaging way, absolutely.
Maybe for number 7, I'll do a best out of 7.
Oh, that'd take a lot of weeks, but I would be invested.
That's a lot of weeks. It's really only 7, maybe 8.
Yeah.
8 weeks.
Now, upon your full-time return, I feel like there's a lot of potential matchups we could see. In fact, one particular one you've talked about is a dream match of mine. So what are your thoughts about the possibility of Mickie James versus Charlotte Flair? Do you think you guys would mesh well together, or how do you feel about the potential of that matchup?
Oh, my God. I think that would be an incredible match. I would love to work Charlotte. I think she's incredible. I think she's so talented. So, you know, she's very interesting and she's very, like, stylistically, she's such a hell of an athlete. Mm-hmm. I think the story of our size difference, of our careers, of how she's retired legends already. I think there's so many elements. And the fact is that Charlotte and I have never even touched. We've exactly. never even been in the same ring together.
I know.
And, you know, I love her so much. I've known her since before she was in wrestling. Mm-hmm. I adore Rick. I've always, you know, he is my favorite, one of my favorite human beings on the planet, even without wrestling. So, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I have so much, it's hard. You know, I can't imagine, like, you know, it's a struggle for her. I think the biggest struggle is the fact that, you know, it's a blessing and a curse, isn't it? To be so, mm-hmm. to be the daughter of someone who's so highly regarded and legitimately viewed by majority of the locker room, even today and before, as the greatest of all time. You know what I mean? It's got to be hard, but she's done such a great job of really
owning it
and accepting it and carving out her own unique path. You know what I mean? And so, dude, I'm proud of her. I think it would be amazing, and I would love to work with her.
It would be pure magic. Oh, yeah. I hope. I want it. I feel like we will get it one day once the stars align. We better anyway. But like, yeah. It has to happen, right?
For sure. It has to. It must. We're just going to put it out there now.
Now, another matchup or feud I loved seeing you in was you versus Alexa Bliss, but I loved you guys even more teaming up together. In fact, you guys were kind of in the hunt for the first women's tag titles, but obviously you guys lost that match. But I feel like you guys had a lot of potential as a team together. But can you tell me more about how it was working with her?
Oh, she's great. She's so funny. She's like, you know what? Our personalities that I didn't know Alexa except for when I went down to the PC, same with mm-hmm. all the girls. When I first yeah. came back, the last time I saw most of the locker room, I was at NXT helping just work out with them and train them. And they were, most of them were either in the beginner's class or like they were just in pretty much all of them. But you know what I mean? Like all of them from Becky. Becky was there, and I'm just trying to think. Ashley was out at the time because she was, you know, up, and I think Sasha wasn't in the class. But like for the most part, the last time I'd seen a lot of the girls when I first walked into the locker room was in that class when I came into NXT to help, you know, mm-hmm. train for a week or two and really see. So to see where they were now, and then kind of meet them and talk to them and then be thrown in this angle with Alexa, and I was like, I didn't really know, but I was excited. And I think we just clicked right away, and her personality, we just bounced off each other really well. And it's not rare, but it is kind of rare when you have that immediate connection with someone mm-hmm. that you just organically have that chemistry with, because it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen immediately with everyone. So,
yeah,
it was great. And we did so much fun stuff, you know, together, yeah. especially as a heel team. I just think absolutely. That our reactions and our things together that I felt like we could have done so mm-hmm. much more. And it's unfortunate that, mm-hmm. you know, we separated really right as the tag titles were really getting yeah. the whole so launch sad. And push, because, mm-hmm. you know, we would still be holding them really. So
I was so sad when you guys lost that first round match. I feel like you guys had a lot of potential as a heel team, could have had a great run or at least been in the hunt a little bit more, like you said.
But yeah. We could have been a contender.
Exactly. But it's okay.
It's all good.
Now, is there a certain opponent that you think has pushed you or challenged you the most inside the ring at any point in your career?
I'll say Melina.
Mm-hmm.
I think Melina, because we were so similar in a lot of ways. And I think that our, you know, we came in kind of together. She came mm-hmm. in before me, but like, you know, even through OVW all the way through the WWE roster, I think that we kind of had this like real competitive thing with each other. And, you know, sometimes it was love, sometimes it was hate. But whenever we went out there, mm-hmm. we had great, great matches. And now we love each other so much. She's my sister. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I adore her so much. But it was really one of those super competitive relationships where we loved mm-hmm. each other, but we would like, if you know what I mean, we kept trying to one up each other and like just trying to, and it made us each other better. You know what I mean? It was like one of those things. But yeah, that Falls Count Anywhere match and that whole thing, like we just were so, you know, vicious and feisty, and it just worked. We just had a great chemistry in the ring. And I always say Beth Phoenix was one of my favorite opponents too, because we just had such good chemistry, and it got to a point. I'm a type of person who's, I love to get my butt kicked, because I love being the underdog. I love fighting from underneath.
Oh yeah. Like,
I just, that's just my jam. That's where I live and I love it. And Beth and I, we would just have like these really just great matches. And it was those like where she would beat my butt for like 80% of it. And it's just like, we got to the point where I honestly feel like we were just, we knew each other so well. We didn't even have to like, we, you know, talk before the match half the time, because we already knew like through our body languages and the nuances, like what, where we were at. And it was like, it was really,
it was just organic. Yeah.
It was just a great, it was just great, great chemistry. And it's like, I always love that when you have that, because sometimes you think that you're going to have really great chemistry with someone because they're quote unquote such a great worker.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's like, it's brutal, whether it be ego.
Yeah.
Whether it be ego or whether it be just not a great, not everybody dances well together. That we're not all great dance partners. You know what I mean? I'm not a great dance partner anyway, because I always want to take the lead and I will step on your foot every time.
Don't piss off Mickey, guys.
I don't even mean to. I'm like, whoops, there's your foot.
Gotcha. That's funny. I think it's funny though that you bring up Melina, because I had her on a few weeks ago actually, and she said that if she could have one last match, she would want to be retired with you, with the match against you. But if you could have one last match theoretically, because you never know in this wrestling industry when it could be your last match, if you could choose one opponent for your final match, who would it be and why?
Well, I'm surprised she said that, because I would want her to come back. To be my tag team partner.
Ooh,
that's what I would that. Want. And we could take over. We could be like Eminem, but I totally, we need the paparazzi and the red carpet. So we're going to need to go start booking that now so we can make sure. I've been working on my entrance. You know, I don't do the splits that she does, so I'll let her do that.
You guys
that.
Can do the leapfrog again.
We'll totally leapfrog it, hit that leapfrog. Yeah, so... And I would love to do something like that with like, you know, a freaking Legends reunited and like Eminem all over again. But the, you know,
except the and symbol in between. Yeah. Oh, that'd be great.
Yes, absolutely. And then we can get all these like, you know, we can knock off Eminems and make all their t-shirts, you know. I'll be the brown one. Tell her I'm the brown one. She can be green. Okay. I'll be green.
It's okay. Not green. Okay, I'll tell her that.
Okay, thanks. Now, my one last match, though, I'd hate to say that, of the current roster or all time, I just don't know, because current roster, there's so many girls that I haven't had a chance to really work with. And so there's a lot of like matchups that I really, really would love to do between Bailey and Sasha.
Yep.
Becky, when she comes back, if she comes back, I'm sure she's coming back.
Yeah,
she probably. Totally. And Charlotte. I would love to have like, we, you know, I've had that match with Asuka, but I would love to have that match again, like a match or a feud with her from like, you know, like TakeOver. Yeah. There's so many. I would love to work with Naomi. And I've always said too, like, I would really love to work with Naomi on a both levels, both in the ring as a competitor, because we've really only been in like a couple like tags or, you know,
six. That's right.
We've never even had a singles really match. But I'd also love to do something with like an alliance thing with her, like some type of story with her. We'd be Country Glow.
Oh, see, you'd have to come back as Babyface Mickey then, which is my, I know you like being heel more, you said, but Babyface Mickey is who I fell in love with. Aww. So at least if you're going to have that run, you got to be Babyface Mickey.
A Babyface. Yeah. Baby Country Glow.
Baby Country Glow. There you go.
Country Glow Baby. I don't know.
Country Glow Baby. That's a new hashtag. Okay.
That is. She's
We're
so
trademarking it
gonna
now.
I hate that one. Yeah.
That's funny. Oh, now, Lord. Looking towards the future, NXT has a lot of talented women on their roster, and I'm sure you're at least somewhat aware of them. So is there any woman in NXT you think stands out or just particularly shines?
I would say Rhea. I love her. I think she's fantastic. You know, that Tegan Knox girl, she's pretty good, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. I've seen her. She's coming back from what, double knee surgery?
Yeah.
From my single. So I it was my first surgery ever. I just, you know, I couldn't, as far as injury related, mm-hmm. I've been very blessed, very lucky.
Yeah.
Wood on that one. Mm-hmm. Not that I haven't been hurt or like out, mm-hmm. but this is the first surgery. Yeah. I'm partial to the Robert Stone brand.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. And Belle's memes. I'm very yes. aware of that.
Yeah, we can't help but give him some hate. But now that he's signed Mercedes Martinez, like I've worked with Mercedes. Mm-hmm. I think that she should have been here a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Like she's so talented and so good. I'm so happy that she's finally here and that she's getting a chance to truly, truly shine. And I think the stuff with her and Aaliyah and Rob is so freaking funny. It's funny. It's just great. It's great. I love it.
It is. Oh, we love that. Mm-hmm. Now, I've already told you so many times how much of an inspiration you are to me, but who are some of your personal heroes?
Well, I always say Sensational Sherry as far yes. as a female in mm-hmm. this business. Like she was the one who really, like for me, inspired me. And I think because of like, it was all her character. She was so over the top, so larger than life, where it was like Miss Elizabeth kind of seemed kind of plain to me. Like she was beautiful, but I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, she's like beauty pageant kind of queen. Like she's not very strong. She's powerful. She's not going to stand up for herself. Whereas Sherry, like nobody was messing with Sherry. Like she was a little nuts, but I loved it. But I've always loved that type of character too, you know?
Oh gosh.
Life-wise, especially right now, I think mm-hmm. J-Lo is my spirit animal. I just love everything that she does. I think that, like, you know, my mom and my grandma, like, my grandmother, mm-hmm. to me, is, like, one of the strongest women I've ever known in my whole life, from growing up on the reservation
mm-hmm.
And living in a time of segregation and all of that. And there's her life story. So, you know, crazy when I think about it. And I'm just like, wow. Like when she would tell, I was just like, whoa, like I cannot imagine living through all of that. Where I'm just like, it was a hard, hard life, but she honestly, she taught me like through the whole farm and everything else. She honestly taught me how you have to be the hardest worker in the room and never quit kind of thing. Like she gave me that mentality, that fighting spirit that honestly like is made me who I am today. And I thank her every day for that.
Absolutely. You are such you and your family are such strong people, empowering women. So I just want to thank you for that. I've already told you this so many times.
You're so sweet.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. I have two more questions for you, and on the topic of empowerment, when do you think you feel the most empowered or confident in your daily life?
Well, oh, wow. I feel like, you know, it's really weird. Like, I feel really like it's those moments of when Donovan says that I'm great. That mm-hmm. makes me feel
Aww.
Great. And when he tells me how amazing I am, it makes me feel really great. Mm-hmm. But I think it's always like those moments of like, giving of like there's like moments of like we do so much, you know, we do so much to kind of build our names and to create our star power mm-hmm. and all that stuff, but to be able to then turn around and use that star power and use that notoriety for good causes,
absolutely,
like, those mm-hmm. are those moments when I feel the most empowered. I think is like when I'm doing like my charity work or doing mm-hmm. you know, speaking or promoting like something that is always those uneasy things to talk about, like I was just doing talking about the Operation Underground Railroad, the rescue.
Yeah.
I was mm-hmm. talking about that with child trafficking and human trafficking and, you know, all these dark issues that we kind of, you know, child abuse and like all these things that are dark issues that we really don't put a lot of light on because they're mm-hmm. hard to process.
Yeah.
For so many people on so many different levels for very different reasons, you know? So I think it's one of those things of like, if you have built yourself up to where people care enough about you to follow you and care about what you have to say, that I implore you to only use your voice for the power of good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And to really, you know, really stop like all the hate and Because if you have built yourself up to that kind of level, but you're just fueling a fire of anger and hate, or like just that abuse and all these other things, it makes me so angry. You know what I mean? I'm mm-hmm. like, how? That's so frustrating, because you're so blessed to be at this level. And, you know, we all come from different spaces and places, and we all have our own, because of that, we all have a different lens to see things. But it's really about trying to be at least aware of that, aware of the fact that we all do have different lenses, in the sense of, like, so have respect, like, respect everyone's, like, thought processes and stuff. And so that's the biggest thing, I think, honestly, with social media, is that because everyone has a voice on it and everyone demands that respect. But, you know, it's just like, you also have the option, and this is an empowering thing, you also have the option to choose what you listen to, you know, and that can be good and bad. Mm-hmm. But if there's like stuff, instead of like, I always go like, oh, you know, with someone like, sends a nasty like tweet or whatever, it's like, yeah, so look at this, because you'll get 100 awesome messages telling you, oh, that match was great, or this, that, and the third, but you'll get that one. So I always make that conscious decision of blocking them, and I don't even put them over. I just block them, because I'm like, you choose what you let in your world. So because if I respond to them or I put them over, here's what happens, is then those people who honestly just really want, are desiring some type of attention, that want some type of whatever, go like, oh, well, she responds to hate tweets, so I'm going to send her a hate tweet because she might respond to me. Like, so then you invite more of that into your space. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Indirectly by, you know what I mean? It's just one of those crazy like little things. So I just block it. I just block it. Should. I block it right out. I don't even, I go, oop, block.
He gone. You're funny. See, you are funny.
I like my rose colored glasses.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, on a serious note though, you talk about like having that courage to have that story and be vulnerable, because I know, I don't think you came out with your particular story until 2015 in an interview with Vince Russo, because I know you said in that interview that you didn't go publicly with it a lot, but yeah, no, like it's tough to come out with your story. And like, I haven't shared mine really until after you did yours and had the courage to do that. And I know you had a lot of courage to speak. I think last year with Child Help, to be an actual speaker for them and an advocate. And it's so empowering to see you turn something so dark into a good cause and a good change and a motivation to provide a good change to something that's so close to your heart. So I just want to commend you on that.
Well, and that's where, thank you, baby. I just think that that's where everyone's healing levels are different. And it's one of those things, everybody's different and everybody will speak their truths, or, you know, just accept their truths when they're ready. And it took me a long time to get to that space. And it wasn't a matter of me not wanting to talk about it. It was just these mind games that I would play with myself, or does this make me weak? Does this make me look weak? Is this going to make me look more vulnerable to people who might be, you know, there's different types of people in the world, of those who seek, you know, seek the weak to like kind of prey on them. Is it going to make me more vulnerable for those types of people? So there's many factors, and I just wasn't ready. And I wasn't honestly ready to like even face the fact of how it may have affected me and some of my decisions thereafter, many of my decisions thereafter. So it just took a long time to get to that space, to be open and accept it, and like not just accept it, because I feel like I had accepted it, you know, because abuse is one of those things, like you live with it and you live with it for a long time.
Exactly. It takes time.
It does. It takes time. And some people can right away just scream it from the rooftops. Other people, everybody processes things so differently. And so I, you know, commend everyone who speaks out when they're ready. And I never like, you know, force anyone to say, no. Oh, why didn't you say something, or why didn't you do anything? Because it's like, you're not in their space, in their head space, in their heart space. You have no idea what they've gone through, how they've processed it, how it's affected them, how they've processed those decisions and those things that have come from it. You know what I mean? The gamut, it goes all the way down. But until you get to that space where you can truly heal from it, your life won't start turning in that thing, because you have to love yourself. You know what I mean? And that's one of those things of where we almost refuse the love for ourselves because we can't accept it. We can't.
Oh, yeah. Our own worst critic. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, sure. It's a struggle. It's a journey, as I think you've told me. It's definitely a journey.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm so proud of you. And you're doing so great. You're doing so great now. Look at you. You're thriving and you're awesome.
I love you. Well, thank you.
That's great.
I know. I love you. Thank you. Oh, I can't tell you how many times, like, I'm so proud of you and, like, thank you for everything. But that I've already said it so many times. It's worn out.
You're so sweet.
Now, lastly, God knows what could happen in this wrestling industry today, but what are some of your personal or professional goals that you hope to achieve in the next few years?
Well, I'm really trying to, I would love to build this Gallpire up to a place where you can get on. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm having so much fun with it, and I would love, love, love that.
Mm-hmm.
I would really love to start the process on building my horse farm, my equine farm. Ooh. Like my rescue farm. Mm-hmm. That I really, really want to do. It's kind of like a rescue retreat center. Mm-hmm. That I'm really like desperate to like really look, start getting the ball rolling on that. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think that was always my thing, is like after I was, you know, done wrestling, or after what would I really love to dedicate my life to. And horses have always been such a huge part of my life. And I still have my two left. And like, I'm like, I would just really love to do that. And I think it's such a great thing for healing and, you know, that's a whole nother show, but I would love to start the process on that. Yeah. And then I think I would love to, get that championship. All of them.
You need number seven.
I need number seven. And I feel like now there's a red one and a blue one. So I need both of those, just because I have this whole wall of the, you know, shadow boxes and stuff that I'm trying to create. And right now, it has all of them except for those two, and well, the technically, NXT one, you know, and
the NXT. Basically everything nowadays. Yeah. You need,
I just need all of them to kind of accompany my wall of, you know,
exactly.
Wall of amazement. My wall of look how great I am.
Exactly. Hashtag legend.
Oh my God.
Now very quickly, who is inducting you in the Hall of Fame in 2022?
Oh my gosh. Oh man.
I'm sure you've thought about this. You had to have.
I don't know.
You're giving Melina's answer that she wanted like three people and you were one of them. But
yeah, she told me about this and she was, I was like, oh, and her, I said, I thought it was, I just immediately thought she would have said Jillian.
She said you, Jillian, and her brother.
She told me that. I was like, oh. I think it would have to be Trish. Mm-hmm. I think it would have to be Trish because of the story, and we have so much history, and I do adore her. And now, you know, on the other side of it, we are such great friends. I think it would have to, and because honestly, my beginning into WWE, the way people first saw me was aligning with her. And if it wasn't for her and the story of her willingness to be able to do a story with me, as a, she didn't know me from Adam, you know, and for us to just organically have so much chemistry and magic together to still to this day be recognized as one of the greatest women's feuds of all time.
The greatest.
Thank you. I think it would be only a suiting for her to induct me, you know, because it immediately set my place into the locker room and to people's respect on television of like the level of, I was immediately in that championship bracket because I aligned with a champion. You know what I mean? With at that time perceived as the best, like her and Amy, her and Lita, the best. In my opinion, like I think Lita has probably goes unregarded for all the work and all the groundbreaking things that she did to really like change people's perception of what a woman can do in the ring. You know what I mean? And that started as a valet. It didn't even start as a wrestler, but
you know, so true. Just,
for being so different, for breaking the mold and doing all those things. And she's a dear friend of mine. She helped me more than people even realize. On my journey of even before I made it to WWE. So it's really hard, you know, when you say, oh, the great feuds and stuff that I've had, I'm sure, like, I don't know, but I think it would have to be Trish.
I agree with that. Yeah. But yeah, that's a hotly asked question that people wanted to know.
I know. And it's so hard to make that decision. Cause then how many people do you upset or like, but it really isn't, you know, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's so hard because you're only going to get inducted one time.
I mean, there's multiple time Hall of Famers for like stables and stuff, but see, for that's sure. Why you got to make country glow. So then you guys can be a Hall of Fame stable. There you go.
There we go. I mean, I tried to do it with Team Golf, with Foxy and I.
Yeah. I thought you guys were Team In Your Dreams.
That was the three of us.
Oh, with, okay. Okay.
With,
got you.
Lexi. Yeah. Yes. We were Team In Your Makes Dreams. Sense. Yeah. But when, you know, when she was busy and it was just the two of us, we were Team Gone. Team Grown Ass Women.
That is true.
Yeah. Clearly we didn't get a t-shirt. We just hashtag ourselves kind of thing.
Hashtag self-made.
Yeah. Self-made.
A lot of hashtags.
Self-made Gaw.
There you go. All right. Now, before I let you go, can you please just tell the listeners where they can find you on all your social medias and projects?
Well, you can go to MickeyJames.com and find everything. All my Twitter is at MickeyJames. Instagram is at TheMickeyJames. Everything is MickeyJames. So as long as you spell it right, I'm pretty sure you can find me. I have the blue check mark. Facebook, Mickey L. James, I believe. Yeah. But my website has everything, so it will take you everywhere from my Spotify channels, Pandora channels, YouTube channels.
And Gaw.
Yes. So, and obviously follow Gaw because we have our own YouTube channel. We have everything. All those channels are separate. It's GawTV.com, and we have everything listed there. We have awesome guests coming. We have amazing guests already. If you haven't seen it yet, go ahead and binge watch. And then every Wednesday, 5 p.m. Eastern, a new episode drops. And we're always live in the chat. In the chat, talking with you all. Well, with our fingers. Typing.
I get what you mean. You're good at that, though. You're good at the YouTube live chat. There you go, too.
Well, here's the thing is that a lot of people don't know who I'm responding to in the YouTube live chat because...
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you can put the @ in their name if you're on laptop anyway. It's hard to do it on your phone.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's where I struggle. I think I'm usually doing it on my phone.
Yeah.
Aha.
There you go. Little secret. It's easier to do it on your laptop because if you @ the person, their name comes up and then you can respond to them. But on your phone, I've tried it. You can't @, like their name doesn't pop up. That's why I've been using it on my laptop more.
I try to do that and it's just not, and then it just comes in. So I just respond and I'll just say the person's name in there.
Yeah.
And hopefully they get it. But
you can do that too, though. But yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me, Mickey. It was truly a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Ella. You're the best.